Hi, my name is Almut Van Kasteren. I am the managing director of a company in Kenya called EPRO Solutions Limited.
My name is Jan Willem Van Kasteren. I'm the husband of Almut, and I'm the director of EPRO Solutions in Kenya. EPRO offers a supply chain management system for those companies buying from small-scale farmers. And we are in 10 different countries. We have a system to manage the small-scale farmers and their fields, farmer registration, collection, payment, traceability, all these different aspects that you need to manage when you're buying from small-scale farmers.
Well, good morning from Massachusetts to Kenya. I love being, like, I love this, the world that we live in, that we can actually communicate so easily. So I'm going to start by asking both of you, how did you start this company? Especially husband-wife teams are known to be so, there's so many different elements to working together as a husband-wife team. So I want to know, what is your background and how did you get to this point of starting this company?
Okay, we have two different versions. So in 2003, I met Almut when I was working in Bolivia for UNICEF. And that was 3 days before I went to Iraq, where the war was about to start. So after 1 year in Iraq, I started my own company in Kenya, and I got in touch with Almut again, and then very quickly she joined. I think Almut has probably a different version.
So good. Now this is the short version, so that is fine. So then I joined, and we had this chili company for many, many, many years. And then at one point, so when we actually managed our chili company, we developed together with another friend a software management tool to just manage all the different interactions that we had with the smallholder farmers at that point. So we were contracting them, and then we would give them inputs so to make sure that they can grow what we needed, and we gave them safe inputs, safe chemicals, fertilizers, etc. Then we had trainings programs, certification programs. We bought from the farmers, we had quality-based payment issues, so we introduced. So whatever personal challenge we had with our farmers, we basically translated it into a technology solution. And this is then the software that we had used for ourselves to manage. Now after, I think, about 10 years or so, we got more and more visitors saying, like, this, what you have built, all this data is actually really unique, and you should try to commercialize that. So this was very funny concept for us, because this was our chili software management tool, and we didn't even think of a market for that. And we piloted it with five different companies, five different value chains, and they loved it. So they all wanted to buy it. And we then thought, there's a market for the software. And we started EPRAT.
So a quick question. So it was a tea company?
Chili.
Tea company. Okay.
Chili.
Mm-hmm. No, it's
chili. Pili pili. Okay. Hot, spicy.
Chili, yes, okay. So I'm like, oh, chili. So chili. It's really interesting because you started this, like, one aspect of the company, and you saw there was like a pain point for you that you solved. So what was that moment where you're working with the farmers and you're creating a product and you're selling the product and you're doing, I mean, you had it for quite some time. What was that moment of, you know what, I go, we could definitely monetize this and we can, like, send it to other people? And how were you getting all these other farmers to buy into what you were doing?
Well, it's more companies, and it's funny because it's a completely different business model, right? Mm-hmm. From being an exporter and working with smallholder farmers, now you're selling software to companies that are like you use. So we did have some contacts, but it takes time. It takes time to understand what, how to implement software, how to prepare the training documentation, how to market your software, how to sell it, how to price it. It's a completely different sector. You need different skill set, you need different people. But then I think what really helped us was the fact, and it's still the fact, that we deeply understand this business. So the agribusiness sector, the challenges, the headaches of our clients, and this is what they see. And what they also see is that the system has really been developed demand-driven. It's something that makes sense, that is relevant, that is very applicable, that works in the most rural areas, because we started with that system back in 2004. Yeah, and it still works. And it works for small cooperatives, and it works for large corporates. it doesn't matter. So this is the beauty. So we have developed over all these years something very simple into something very complex. No, not complex, it's still easy, but you can use it in a complex and global environment. This is what I mean.
So one of the things that I'm always fascinated with are family-owned businesses and spousal-owned businesses. So I met Jan in January when I was in Morocco. There's not one place I go in the world that I'm not going to get friends. I mean, I acquire friends. Once I have a relationship with you, I have a conversation with you, you're stuck with me forever, which is one of the things I love. But I love learning with you as well. So when Jan was saying, like, it was, yeah, it's a family-owned business, I'm like, I'm thinking the children, I'm thinking like 10,000 years of, you know, family heritage. And he's like, no, it's like myself and my wife, and we've been working together for quite some time. And I'm like, oh, please tell me. So talk about how it is to, like, you fall in love, you get married, and then you make that decision of owning a business, not but just one business, but multiple businesses together. Talk to people that are thinking about starting a business with their spouses. How is that? I mean, how do you make the decisions? How do you get work done? How do you leave it at the door, as in this is work and this is our life?
You don't. I think you sometimes wake up in the morning and feel like, oh, for God's sake, we need to do this and this and this. And you start at 6 o'clock in the morning talking about the work. So I think it's really complicated or difficult to separate. I think what really helped us was having child number one, and then child number two, child number three, and now we have a puppy. So we have different topics, different puppies to talk about. What do you think, Jan?
Yeah, I agree. I think we both agree that it's not ideal to be together in the company, but we are together in the company, so we just try to make the best out of it.
But then funny enough, so there was a moment when Jan was pitched by an international organization, because they loved the way how we work and how we set up our systems and structures, and they just wanted to replicate this model. And I think this is what our software is also about, replicating how we are working and creating this sustainable, inclusive businesses. But there was a moment, so when he left, I felt almost cheated. So he had a life apart. He had a different email address. I didn't have access to his data. So that it took me some time to get used to that.
She asked me to copy her blindly in the emails. International NGO. And she said, no, but you can do a blind copy.
It was really funny, because if you work so closely together for 10 years or so, and then suddenly your husband has a life apart, this is really weird. You're left behind and you're supposed to manage everything alone, and then he's... So that was a weird moment, I have to admit.
So if you were going to give a piece of advice, each of you, I want to hear this from each of you, you're going to give a piece of advice to anyone that was going to start a husband-wife company, what is something, the pro and the con for someone that's about to start it now? Because of this pandemic, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, people are at home, and now they are at home working. The kids, they're teaching the kids schoolwork, and then they're splitting up the duties because no one can come into their homes, and then they're trying to run a business. They're jobs, but they're in the same space. So what would be the pro and con of running your own business with a family?
So the con is you always depend on the income of the company, right? So it's nice in such a situation if you have a salary payment, somebody paying you, continues paying you. This, we just depend on what we make as a company. I think this is a challenge, and that can be sometimes quite confrontational if money is not coming in. But so far, we are actually doing quite well. I think we are managing.
What is the pro? You can take time off whenever you want. Like now we are doing homeschooling, but the business continues. Each child is taking another desk in our office. There's a lot of positive things. It's very intensive, and I think it's important that you basically switch off, and that everybody, each one also has their own hobbies, something not related to the company. But there are definitely many beautiful aspects, and you get to know each other very well.
Oh yeah.
So when there is a good foundation, you can be a super team. Yeah, I think if there's not a good foundation, you will not make it as a couple anyway. So you might as well start a company together. But if the foundation is good, you're willing to work hard, then, but I think for us, it would be nice if the company grows a little bit further. And then, you know, eventually in the future, we can slow down a little bit and you know, have a few people basically working in between us, like some managers. Everything is discussed between us. So we often invite managers for the development team or for the client relationship team, just to have somebody in between us. We'll ask somebody else to make minutes of the meeting, just to formalize it a little bit. I mean, you be a husband and wife, we can sit next to each other, and 20 or 30 emails a day, we write to each other, sitting next to each other, just to confirm. So we are, I'm Dutch, so we are very formal. We are probably almost as bad as the Swiss. So the way we work is very structured. And that would drive many people crazy. I think our cultures are quite similar, and the work ethic. Otherwise, it would be very difficult to be a husband and wife running a company.
So you started the conversation, and I'm just going to keep going with it, where you bring in the management team to like keep it formalized. How has work been during this unique situation in our history, where you would think that we read about this in history books, in Bibles, never thought in our lifetime we would be living through a global pandemic. How has that affected your team, and how has that affected the companies that you work with? Is it hurting? Is it helping? What's going on for you guys in Kenya?
So we, as a company, we have a software solution to work remotely with farmers. So this is our moment to shine. If we can't do business during a pandemic, then we should quit. So we have actually a lot of business. I must say the income has slowed down, but we build up so many contracts. We have so much in the pipeline. Our team is working full time. They're all working remotely. We have systems to monitor them. We have dial-in moments. Everybody is busy. We 2 weeks ago, we finished an installation and a training in Guatemala, everything remote. So this is really what, this is our core business. So this is our moment to shine and to consolidate the company. So people are a little bit less busy, I must say, than normal. So we focus a lot on formalizing some structures, some processes, work instructions, SOPs, things that you never give priority. But in general, all the staff is busy, and we have a lot in the pipeline.
And to add on that, what we continue doing, and I think what is really important, is that we have our morning meetings. So every morning at 9 o'clock, we start the day with our meeting. And this is what we used to do in the office. We moved everything to Trello. So now we have our Trello meetings. Everybody dials in and we go through our to-do list, our action points. And so it almost feels like being back in the office. And then what we also do, what we saw is needed, it's a bit the social aspect. So twice a week we have a coffee break. So we dial in, we have different topics that we talk about. One of our colleagues told us last week that his wife is pregnant and everybody was cheering and happy. And so it's nice. I mean, we try to socialize despite the distance, and we try to keep the spirits up. And I think we are doing quite well with that.
How long have you been in quarantine? In the States, well, it's in the Massachusetts, because after New York, our numbers have been very high in Massachusetts, so we're still in it. This week was the first week that they started to ease only 4 different locations, but every organization has been asked to keep everyone at home. Schools are closed for the remainder of the year as of April. So how long have you been in quarantine, and how is that affecting the people that you are in contact with all the time, whether it is face-to-face, whether it is virtual? Are you seeing that the longer that people are in quarantine, the less motivated they are, or are they more motivated?
So we are in quarantine since 23rd of March. This is when we started. And I think so our team is motivated, but it has to do, I think motivation has a lot to do whether you have a purposeful work to do and whether you feel needed and whether, so I think this actually works quite well for us. We do, I think our team is very happy, and our clients, as a matter of fact, because they are working in the agriculture sector, a lot of them do still need to interact with the farmers. Mm-hmm. But then some can't. So Rwanda, for example, was a complete lockdown. Uganda was a complete lockdown. They were not allowed to move the houses. So that was very difficult for them to really do anything. And some of them regretted that they hadn't set up the SMS feature before. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think it's quite positive and good. I think it's also an opportunity for teams and also for families to just, I think you slow down in one way because you spend more time with it and you just focus more on your small family or your core activities, and you don't get distracted so much by traveling, by flying, but by moving. I think in a normal life, so outside Corona, you just travel a lot. You're just constantly busy running around, coordinating, activating on the street, in the car. And at the moment, we are still busy, but we're just at home and working from home. And I think that makes it, in one way, also very efficient.
I would be very curious to know.
No,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jan.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to add, so for the staff, yes, we have a lot of contact moments remote, but we did plan at least one meeting with each staff member, almost with one of the colleagues, just to ask personally how they are doing, if they cope, because you might not pick that up from the staff meetings, from the staff calls. So they had a separate meeting with each individual separately, how they are dealing, where the company can improve, where they would. Like, for example, we had one person in the team who basically couldn't deal being alone so much. So then we made an exception, and the person was working from our office for some time. And so we need to, so we try to get in that personal moment with each of them.
Yeah. I think that's like one of the things that a lot of people are not paying attention to. There's a lot of individuals that are leadership. They're spending so much time just making sure that they can see you. They're micromanaging that they're not seeing you. They're not seeing and hearing you. I think that's wonderful that not only are you having group meetings, but you're having individual meetings as well. How is that at home now? You have three children, and it is, and I always say, like, the kids, the puppy, the pets are gonna be overwhelmed when you leave, because they're like, wait a second, these humans were always here, but the humans are home. And the kids are working and they're doing their schoolwork and they're not seeing their friends, and they're only interacting. It's just the five of you. How are they doing? Because it's overwhelming. 10 years ago when I started my company was the last time that the world imploded. And I remember the feeling of what it was. I was in business school. The professors came out, said, this has never happened before. You have to like go live with your capstone. And my company is from my capstone 10 years ago. And little did I know like it would happen again. But I'm more apt and I'm more prepared. But kids, my intern started this week, and those kids that are interns this year for me were 8 or 9 years old last time. And they don't remember all of it, but they remember the stress from their parents. So how are you able to parent, run a business, run a team, especially running, being a parent, because it is a very, very difficult time when they're seeing something that's just like, that's never been seen before. I mean, 100 years ago, it was, when we had the Spanish flu.
Yeah. So we have a special whiteboard for all the different Zoom meetings. And then we are all sitting in the same room having headsets on and having different calls at different times. Mm-hmm. And in the morning, I start, basically, I don't do anything for 2 to 3 hours apart from managing homework and classes because the kids are still relatively small. I understand if your kids are older, it all works better. But with smaller kids, you just have to be on top. Mm-hmm. And then funny enough, our little one, she just refuses to do anything, any classes. She's just running around in the garden, playing with the dogs, go to the neighbors and play with their dogs. And is very happy doing that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's okay. And in the afternoon, the kids just play.
I think it's more stressful. We have a team of 12. It's more stressful to make sure that those three kids are in time for the Zoom call and establish that they have a network connection and a microphone and that the video is on. That's much more stressful than managing the team.
Yeah, I've heard that from many, many people saying the same exact thing where, you know, you said it for the younger ones. My best friend has a younger one as well. And he doesn't have, you know, boys don't, aren't on Zoom with their friends, where her daughter is like, I go, well, she has that interaction. And so the little ones, they don't get that much homework from school, or they're not keeping their attention. And so as long as they're happy, it's a good thing. Keep them happy. As long as they're interacting, I mean, they're learning more in the garden or playing with the dogs and interacting than they probably would be on the computer. So I think that all the rules at the beginning have been thrown out the window. And as long as they're happy, they're healthy, they're eating, they're sleeping, they're like they're stimulating their brain, it's a win-win.
This is what I think. I think it's actually something very, it's a very unique situation we're in, because the kids learn to just be busy with themselves again and not be entertained like 24/7. I think it's something actually really nice.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm going to go back to the business for a quick second. Can you walk me through steps of, if I'm a farmer, how am I interacting with you? One, how am I finding you? And two, what are the benefits of using the technology? Because, I mean, you're assuming I'm a farmer, and I mean, I'm anywhere, and I'm just doing what I do. It's been very productive. Why would I want to come to you if I've never heard from you? So the farmers that worked with you knew of you. But if I'm an outside farmer, how do you market to them, and how do you show them the benefits?
Okay, so maybe I can answer that. So our system is really for the buyer. So if you are a farmer cooperative or food processor or trader, and you have a relationship, or you aim at a long-term relationship with a large number of suppliers, farmers, mm-hmm. that is where our system comes in place. And it would be the management team of the company that is our that is using the system, and then the field staff or maybe lead farmers that have access to the mobile application. The farmers themselves, they would only receive maybe messages. They would see the payment overviews. They would receive the payment. We don't even brand the system. So for the farmer, this system is basically what their buyer has introduced.
Okay.
And, that's basically how we. So it's the farmer, they don't know about eProd. So we need to reach out to those buyers. And fortunately, they hear a lot about us. So more and more buyers come from us. They come to us. We also work a lot with basically development organizations or financial institutions mm-hmm. that basically have the same market. So the banks, they want to give loans to farmers. Yep. They cannot do that individually. So they do that through a buyer, a cooperative, for example, which is also our client. But with our system, they would now have information to do a risk assessment of the loans. The system can manage repayment. Or for an NGO, our system would basically help them with the reporting to their donor. So this is basically why we get more and more push from these, we call them strategic partners, like the financial institutions, like the NGOs. And then they introduce us to those companies.
Just to clarify, when you say buyer, is the buyer an NGO, or like what? I mean, can you define for everyone that's listening what the buyer is, or who the buyer?
Our clients are the companies that provide you with yogurt or with milk, or they are the companies that package the rice and sell it to you. The companies, so not the supermarkets, but the ones that actually produce. And very many of our clients, they work with thousands of farmers, and very often they don't even know who the farmers are, because it's middlemen that are aggregating and delivering. Mm-hmm. Now, this is risky for the clients, especially if you export. You need to provide a fully traceable product, a premium quality. You need to be sure of the inputs, so they're not funny chemicals, pesticides in mm-hmm. the produce. It's basically people, companies, organizations that want to be in control of their supply chain. Yeah, it's a specialized ERP. Really focused to the tea traders, the coffee traders, So we are in over 20 different value chains. We have companies that produce pomegranate and that produce raisins, nuts, cashew nuts. Mm-hmm. But they work with thousands of smallholder farmers, or sometimes also bigger farmers, and they buy from them. And to manage this interaction between the company and so the buyer and the producer, so the smallholder farmers, this is what our system manages.
I think that's like fantastic, because this is one of the, I mean, not only did I want to give a voice to all small businesses globally during this time, this is like, I mean, something that I'm enjoying to do, but also you're hearing the rest of the story, because we hear about the farmers, we hear about, like, I go as a consumer, I'm buying the product, but we don't hear about the end, the middleman, the middle person that's actually packaging. You hear about how, oh yes, I'm like, I'm the company that is producing this rice. But yes, you're right. You have to find that rice somewhere. You have to partner with someone in between. And that's one of the things what people, we take a lot of things for granted, especially when you're going to the market now and you're not seeing things on the shelf in many, many locations. And you're not understanding that there's not just the process of why isn't there enough toilet paper? Why isn't there enough yeast or flour to make bread? Well, there's all these different places that have been closed. And if they're closed, they can't produce for you all these items that you're wanting. And it's not just as easy as going to the farm and getting that rice. There's so many different steps that are in between.
Yes.
What are the, I mean, what are the pain points that you think that the pandemic will happen for future business for you? I mean, you right now, it's great because you are dealing with a lot of, you're creating new processes for your company. You're getting a lot of people in the pipeline. But what do you think are the pain points that are going to be happening as a result of the ripple effect of the coronavirus?
I think the basically, the short term, the main issues are, how do you as a buyer continue attracting new farmers, for example? Yeah, so there is a gap in creating, expanding. How do you provide extension services remotely to farmers? How do you manage your staff? Your staff can be in the field, but they might not be doing anything. Yeah, so how do you supervise it? Yeah, there's a big issue with lack of liquidity. Farmers don't have cash because the traders, they can't pay them remotely, or the banks, they will not give them loans because they don't have records of those farmers. So these are things that are going to have a long lasting effect. What is planted at the moment is all suboptimal. Farmers have uncertainty, so they don't invest the resources required. They don't know if they have a market. They might not have the cash. They might not have the knowledge. They will not have signed the contract. So there's so many issues there. So that will have a long lasting effect. Again, so these are all issues that our system would tackle. So long term, this is a moment to prove. Long term, I think we will be able to get a foot in the door with many companies. So for the company also long term, I think we this is really the turning point.
What skill sets or what items have you added? We've had a ridiculous amount of time. We continue to have time. I mean, this is going to be a very, very interesting year. I feel like the 2020 is a reboot year. What are the new items that you've added to the company for growth? What are new things that you, skill sets that you've added in your homes during this time? You spend so much time just being here.
I think we mainly, we have worked more than ever. So, for example, in our office, everywhere we have the whiteboards. For example, now we have made them digital, and we were discussing probably when we go back to the office, we will continue digital. We will just project it for the meeting, but you know it works. It's better. So we have learned a lot of things. Also, this moment has been good to kind of consolidate. So we had a lot of, let's say, solutions. That can solve a part of a problem, but now we have consolidated it. For example, we have some clients now, they want access to finance, inputs, but also soil analysis. So they can give recommendations for the inputs. And so more things are falling in place, and our total offer, our value proposition is actually more interesting because it's we had time the last few months now to really consolidate some of these concepts.
Not only that, so I think we have really tried now to go move more and more online. So we realized that home office actually can work for us, that we can install e-prod on a distance with our clients, and we can So we've always done some training sessions online, but I think we've worked a lot. We have developed now training manuals on how to do that online. We are now planning to implement a learning management system online, so you can just download the entire package and have some sort of free trial or freemium model. So this is something we're thinking through and developing right now. So I think there are a lot of things of, there is no, you can do things online. You don't have to travel always from here to West Africa. You can actually just do it. Us sitting here and somebody else sitting somewhere in Ghana or Nigeria or Guatemala, wherever, it doesn't matter. What matters is the time difference. But as long as you can overcome that, it's fine. And I think this is something that we're really now also working towards.
So it's a big time saving and cost saving. Okay, we have a little puppy. This could be quiet for some time, but that was it.
But no, this is the fun part about being at home. You're seeing things. It's all good.
But it's really, and I think that's why the way we work will structurally change. We even posted some of these things on our website, because we see that we can become more efficient. We can offer the product cheaper because the client doesn't have to pay our transport and accommodation and things like that. And so we can do more clients at the same time. We have focused more on the intake process. So instead of going to the client, sit face to face, it is more difficult to do that remote. But we just had to improve our tools for that. Yeah, I think we will continue many of the aspects that we are using now of the remote work. We will continue that in the future.
I think that's one of the things that I'm hearing this from a lot of companies. If you're walking out the door and you're seeing your little stores that you're used to seeing, that a lot of small stores went e-commerce. And if you spoke to them in January and they're like, would you ever consider e-commerce? They're like, no, I don't want to. I mean, I don't have the time. The biggest thing is I don't have the time. And when it came push to shove, they were like, oh, wait, we're going to be closed down for so many times. We have product that we're selling. Restaurants that have been closed for quite some time are now using their vendors, and they're buying in bulk, they're packaging, and now they're selling to their consumers that don't want to go to the supermarkets anymore because the supermarkets are now very overwhelming. So I think that people have become very, very creative in regards of realizing technology is a help, not a hindrance, and they're able to actually find new ways to keep their company visible, which is fantastic. I'm sorry, were you going to say something? So my last question to you is, for both of you, personally and professionally, what would be your ask for anyone that is listening to this all over the globe? What would be your personal and professional ask of people that are meeting you guys for the first time on this platform?
So my ask is, let's continue as much as possible like that, because what is really a big concern for me is the environment. I think this whole Corona thing has shown us that we can live without a lot of unnecessary things like travel. Like, we can go online, we can use technology. There's no need to spend so much time in traffic or in planes or wherever. And I think I would like everyone to just slow down, think once everything opens up, think again, do I really need to use the car, or do I really need to go to the meeting, or can I just use technology instead of using any sort of means? Just try to, slow down.
Yeah. And I think, from, if I look at the last 20 years, there has been a trend to basically for the buyers to move away from the small scale farmers because they couldn't meet the volumes, the quality, later the market requirements of traceability, pesticides, residues. It has become almost impossible to work with small-scale farmers. I would like to show that through proper ICT systems, it is very possible, and there is no need to exclude those small-scale farmers.
Beautiful. I have to say, this was so nice. Jan, I love seeing you again. I'm so sad that I you weren't able to come to Boston, but I'm sure that there'll be a time that you'll be in Boston soon enough. I go, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what a pleasure to meet you, my friend. You are a rock star. Jan, you married well. I love that.
I go, you married well.
both of you guys married well. But I met him and he was talking so much about you. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to meet her. You are awesome. You're fantastic. When this is, I used to say when this is over, this is the year that we're living in. This is 2020 came in with a bang. So at the end of the year, I will actually follow up with both of you and see how it was. I mean, how is it when things start opening up a little bit more? How does business roll out? How are the new initiatives? I want to hear the rest of your story at the end of the 2020 year.
Yes, let's do that.
Beautiful. Thank you so very much. Have a great, 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 great day. Enjoy this time with the kids and the puppy.
Yes, we will. The puppy is 13 weeks old.
Oh, well, quick question. So did the puppy come during the corona or did you have the puppy before?
We had booked the puppy before and was ready during corona. So I think it's a good timing for a puppy, but this puppy will be very confused once the kids go to school and everything goes a bit more back to normal.
You were very smart to get a puppy before, because in New York, I mean, pretty much in the Northeast, the shelters ran out of puppies. They ran out of dogs, which is very unique that shelters were just doing a big celebration. They had never had a moment since the start that they didn't have a dog. And they're getting dogs from the South and bring them up North because people are needing and wanting dogs. And so it's fabulous that these puppies are getting home or they're being fostered. So I'm happy that you were able to get one before this started.
Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you guys. Thank you too much.
Yes. Thanks a lot.